Okay. So we fast forward to question number two. Do you want to be poor or rich? Then again, which one would God want you to be? A or B? Can give me a hands up? Who wants to choose A? No one. Eh? I saw one or two hands. Okay. Who wants to choose B? Rich. Oh, okay. Still only a couple of hands. So I guess most of you wants to choose C. Okay. Yeah, not so poor, not so rich, smart. Actually, the answer of this question depends on your answer, your understanding about question number three, which is the last one. The relationship of your financial situation and your character. Are the rich people bad, the poor ones good, or is it the other way around? And this actually depends, this will decide for question number two, you know, which one you want to become, poor or rich. There are two common opinions, completely opposite to each other, especially for Christians. The first one, the rich people are arrogant, depend on their own abilities, tend to bully others, while the poor are upright, honest, caring people. They work diligently, care for others. There are several examples in the Bible. For example, as shown in the picture, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Also, in the book of Matthew, Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eyes of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. We are all very, very familiar with this verse. A young brother I know, in his 30s, once shared that he was ashamed of himself because he's a very successful businessman. He's from a very common family. But accidentally got a job offer in a jewelry shop after uni. And 2 years later, he started his own jewelry business without any support. He worked very hard, and in less than 10 years' time, he opened his 4th shop in Beijing. But he dared not to drive his branded car to the church because he was afraid that the brothers and sisters would look down on him, even though he served wholeheartedly in the church. Is this you? Do you have this worry or concern? The opposite opinion is also quite popular in some churches. Those righteous people are blessed by God and with prosperity, but the poor people must have done something wrong. It seems that there's also support in the Bible. Look at the screen. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob were all super rich and powerful guys. Also in Deuteronomy, God promised his people that if they fully obey the Lord and carefully follow his commands, they will be blessed in all aspects of life. Brothers and sisters, what do you think? Financial situation is our concern. And there are many passages in the Bible talking about wealth and poverty. Proverbs 28 is one of them. Today, we will look at this chapter carefully for a deeper and complete understanding, hopefully, about the puzzling question. Now, let me invite Sister Dai Yun to read the scripture for us.
Proverbs 28. The wicked flee though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. When a country is rebellious, it has many rulers, but a ruler with discernment and knowledge maintains order. A poor man who oppresses the poor is like a driving rain that leaves no crops. Those who forsake instruction praise the wicked, but those who heed it resist them. Evildoers do not understand what is right, but those who seek the Lord understand it fully. Better the poor whose walk is blameless than the rich whose ways are perverse. A discerning son heeds instruction, but a companion of gluttons disgraces his father. Whoever increases wealth by taking interest or profit from the poor amasses it for another, who will be kind to the poor. If anyone turns a deaf ear to the law, even their prayers are detestable. Whoever leads the upright along an evil path will fall into their own trap, but the blameless will receive a good inheritance. The rich are wise in their own eyes. One who is poor and discerning sees how deluded they are. When the righteous triumph, there is great elation, but when the wicked rise to power, people go into hiding. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Blessed is the one who always trembles before God, but whoever hardens their heart falls into trouble. Like a roaring lion or a charging bear is a wicked ruler over a helpless people. A tyrannical ruler practices extortion, but one who hates ill-gotten gain will enjoy a long reign. Anyone tormented by the guilt of murder will seek refuge in the grave. Let no one hold them back. The one whose walk is blameless is kept safe, but the one whose ways are perverse will fall into the pit. Those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty. A faithful person will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished. To show partiality is not good, yet a person will do wrong for a piece of bread. The stingy are eager to get rich and are unaware that poverty awaits them. Whoever rebukes a person will in the end gain favor rather than one who has a flattering tongue. Whoever robs their father or mother and says, "It's not wrong," is partner to one who destroys. The greedy stir up conflict, but those who trust in the Lord will prosper. Those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. Those who give to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes to them receive many curses. When the wicked rise to power, people go into hiding, but when the wicked perish, the righteous thrive.
We will examine this chapter carefully and to find out, first, what does it say? Secondly, what is this message for us? The first subject of this chapter is about the wicked and the righteous. Most of the related verses are antithetical sayings, but I separated those verses and summarized the behaviors of the righteous and the wicked in the table on the screen. And verse numbers are in the brackets. So very easy, very obvious, the righteous people are those who kept the law, blameless and faithful, they tremble before God, they trust in God, thus they are bought. They are richly blessed and can receive a good inheritance. Even more, they confess and renounce their sins. They do everything in wisdom. They work diligently and honestly, never gain anything with wrong means, and they are kind to the poor people. They are willing to help those in need. At the end of the day, they will be kept safe, lack of nothing, have abundant food, and enjoying long lives. The wicked ones are exactly the opposite. They forsake the law, they agree with the wicked people, they are self-righteous, they don't want to confess their sins, they are perverse themselves, they are and lead others to evil paths. And they collect high interest, they get money in a wrong way, they flatter other people, they oppress the weak, murder, and don't help the poor. All of these deeds will eventually lead them to poverty, conflict, death, and curses. The second subject of this chapter is about wealth and poverty. All of the verses about the poor are collected here. The key words is highlighted in blue. Verse 3 says, a poor man oppresses other people. Well, verse 15, helpless people are being mistreated by powerful rulers. Verse 6 mentions a blameless poor person. Verse 11, one who is poor and discerning. And verse 19 and 22 tells us, getting rich in the wrong way will cause poverty. And 8 and 12 say that it is good to help the poor people. Overall, these 8 verses actually don't tell us what kind of people are poor people. How about the rich? Again, the verses in chapter 28 mentioning the rich are all listed here, and this time in red color. And so we can see from the screen that some rich people are perverse and wise in their own eyes. Some get money by taking high interest from other people, and this is strictly forbidden for the Israelites in the old times. And these 3 verses are about those rich people, I mean, those people was blessed by God because they work diligently, they are faithful, and trust the Lord. Again, the 7 verses don't tell us the characteristics of rich people. So no clear definition. Okay, number 3. Let's look at the relationship between wealth, poverty, and wickedness and righteousness. In chapter 28, sometimes the poor people do bad things. Sometimes it's the rich people who do bad things. Oh, those are all the bad things listed in this chapter. Meanwhile, these are good examples. The righteous ones, we found that they can be poor people, they can also be rich people. So in summary, there is no clear definition of wealth and poverty in this chapter. Poor people can be good or bad. Rich people can also be good or bad. There's no connection between your financial situation and your character. Then how? What is the message of this chapter for us? Proverbs talks about wealth and poverty quite a lot. Most of the verses tell us that it is righteous, it is good. It is something you ought to do, to be kind to the poor, to give to the needy. And when we search the entire Bible, several books, especially the Old Testament, define the poor as those who include widow, fatherless, and stranger. Some examples are shown on the screen, but you can find more verses in the Bible. Also in the New Testament. In the old times, only men can be the breadwinner of the household. Widow and orphan could not work to support themselves. Aliens living among the Israelites won't be able to get their piece of land. And so those people are the marginal people So based on those, the poor are most likely those people who don't have the ability to sustain their living, like food, drink, clothing, and housing. Whereas the rich should be those who have far more than they need for survival. The rich are those who have far more than they need for survival. Wealth is a blessing from God as a reward for following a moral life, for private initiative, and for hard work. The Bible tells us this, especially the Proverbs. God created a beautiful and resourceful world. He wants us to enjoy it. Definitely. He wants us to enjoy the life he gave us. But wealth is not the only form of blessing from God. And poverty is not the only cause by wrongdoings. Wealth and poverty might come to those who have no personal responsibility for either. For example, war, some natural disasters, unjust actions by the powerful officials, the death of a provider, the global political and economic situation might push people into poverty. Wealth might also result from unexpected good fortune. For example, I just searched the website and picked randomly some examples. Those people who were born in the poor states in India and these are some photos of the countryside in Uttar Pradesh, the number 3 on the screen on the last slide. And also, the domestic helpers and construction workers in our midst. The other end of extreme are those who were born with a silver spoon in their mouths. Look at those familiar faces. So in short, we don't have the chance to choose where we were born, who can be our parents. Neither can we control the policy of our country or other countries or the entire world. But the message of chapter 28 is the decision of being righteous or wicked is up to us. Very clearly, chapter 28 advocates the righteous way. It's the way of safety, blessing, and abundant life. We should fear our Lord, trust Him, pursue wisdom, be a righteous person, no matter what our financial situation is. And look at the next table. Today I use a lot of tables. And this time I put the righteous and the wicked in the same table and a very clear contrast. However, as Christians, when we look at this table, I don't know how you feel, because when I look at this table, when I'm making this table, I have struggles. I do. Because we cannot be a perfectly righteous person. In other words, we cannot do all the things on the left all the time. We struggle on following God's instructions. It might cost too much for us. Let it be money, time, or my ego. From time to time, we face the challenge to compromise the integrity to obtain more profit. We want to hold on what we are having, don't want to give to the needy, because we want, We think we need more. Proverbs use lots and lots of antithetical sayings, black and white terms. The contrast between good and evil, life and death, is super clear. This type of saying is easy to be memorized and to be understood literally. But it also gives us an impression that God does not allow anything in between, which is the reality of life. Actually, yes, a lot of times the life in between, I mean in between the left and the right, is the reality. We thought that Proverbs are hard. We will be punished if we are not doing the right thing on the left. Brothers and sisters, please take note. And thank you, Brother Ten Xian, for the songs you led us just now. Yes, we have a friend in Jesus. God is not a serious judge. I mean, he judges us, yes, but he's not against us. God is for us. Please take note that all of the behaviors on the left are not conditions of becoming the children of God. You don't have to be a perfect, a righteous person to come to the church, to join any cell groups. Precisely the opposite. We can only be transformed from the right to the left after being saved by God, after this new life of Jesus starts to grow inside us. Joining a church, becoming a member of a cell group, can help this transition process. Yes, process. We are all in the process of transformation. The key are in verse 4 and 5. The words of God and God himself. Proverbs and the entire Bible tells us the right and wrong, good and evil. This forms our characters, gives us guidance and right view of values. Right mindset is the foundation of right behavior and action. More importantly, look at verse 5. Only God himself can transform our lives. So seek the Lord. You may ask, how to seek the Lord? What should I do? There are many ways. I only want to emphasize one thing in chapter 28. Confess and renounce our sins. Transformation starts from there. Confess to God. Admit that I have struggles. Lord, it's hard for me to do the righteous thing all the time. Tell him. He will help you. Tell him that I want to do good, but it is hard for me. Admit it. And Lord, please help me to change. When God starts to work in us, he will reveal the darkness inside us, the problem of my heart. And so, brothers and sisters, please give space for God to work inside us. Let the grace of God work in us. A Taiwan pastor and his wife once shared about a brother's story in their church. This brother is a deacon. And the deacons in here, don't worry. This is another brother. This pastor couple are very experienced marriage counselors. And this brother is a very nice guy in his company and serves fervently in church ministry. And nobody knew that something went very wrong at his home. Until one day at the midnight, his wife called the pastor couple, and because she was being beaten up badly by her husband. It's painful and difficult. The abuse has been going on for many years, actually. At first, the husband wanted to cover up. He didn't. He refused to admit he has a problem. He was afraid, actually. He was afraid to admit. But gradually, the pastor couple loved him, accept him, and care for his family. And the church formed a supporting group for this family. And he started to realize how much pain he had brought to his wife and children, and how much damage he has caused to his family. And he realized that he needed help. He accepted counseling, and he accepted help. And things are being changed from there. He and his family are in the process of transformation. They started to experience the renewing power of Jesus. So that's my number two point. Rely on God's grace and his words. Number three, chapter 28 specifically addresses the issue of wealth and poverty, advocating about being kind to the poor, giving to the needy. God does not put everyone in the same financial situation. You know, this issue actually puzzled me for many years. I don't know, how about you guys? Do you have an answer that, you know, why God, why? Why there are so much people in need all over the world? Why, you know, so many children are in miserable situation? Why? And, you know, finally I realized God is asking me, not why, but what you should do, what you should do. God really cares about the needy ones. He himself watches over the fatherless, the widow, the foreigners, the marginal people. He also urges his people, especially those powerful, those with much more than they need, to look after the weak people in the society. God does care about social justice. And again, you may ask, the rich are those who have far more than they need. What is my essential? Am I a rich person, or do I need more? How to draw the line? Brothers and sisters, there is no standard answer. It really depends. Give you some example. Having a car, is it as essential? Yes, maybe to some family. While others are happy to take public transport. Some are happily cooking most meals at home, but some think that it saves a lot of time and energy to dabao outside food. A 6-year plus pastor could not understand. He's my friend, and he could not understand why his daughter insists to live in a 4-room flat. The daughter and the son-in-law only has 3 children. Means 5 people in the household staying in a 4-room flat. Because this pastor, in his childhood, there he and his entire family, there are 8 people, and they are happily staying in a 3-room flat. So it really depends. But brothers and sisters, there is an answer. The answer is in our heart. It's in our hearts. It is good to work hard, to be successful, to pursue for more, larger, and higher. Definitely, it is good. But God gives us responsibilities when he entrusts us with more, larger, and higher. We can't only care for ourselves. We must stretch out for the needy. Are there needy ones in Singapore? Yes. Are there homeless in Singapore? Yes. We Singaporeans are really kasu. A lot of times we get lost because we keep comparing with others, right? Peer pressure. In the church, you know, everyone at the same age get into the same class in children's Sunday school. And then you enter the youth program, but differences started to show up when you, after your O level, after your A levels, and after you started to work. And we compare with our friends, we compare with the people at the same age. And so it is our social cycle. It is our social circle, it is our culture, the media decide how much we need. It's not us. The pressure, the comparison make us anxiety, uneasy and worried. Again, we need the help from God. We must pause from time to time and ask ourselves, and also ask God, God, is this what you want me to do? Is this what I really need? What kind of impact is my striving for better, more, and higher on my relationship with you, Lord? What is the impact? Is my striving on my family, on my health? Do I have a heart for the needy people around me? Let me finish with a very short story. A mommy and her 7-year-old girl were preparing some stuffs for the needy families in another country because there's a flood there and a lot of people lost their home. So the mommy sought out all of her useless clothes and put in a bag. That's what we do, right? Annually or half yearly. Huh? And the little girl, she took a lot of things she really loves, including her dear teddy bear. And so the mommy was very surprised, asked, sweetie, I know you have to hold her when you go to bed. Why do you give this to the children there? And the girl told the mommy, because God told us to love others as ourselves. Brothers and sisters, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity that we talk again about wealth and poverty. We talk again about seeking your will in our lives. God, we need help. We admit that we need help, every one of us. Please help us to walk in your way to become the person you want us to become. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, let's have a time of offering as we respond to the word of God.